Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to speak this morning on how to make a wise decision. How to make a wise decision. Notice your scripture, please, again, where the Bible says, "And I beseech you, therefore, brethren," so talking to saved people, "by the mercies." Now, the mercy of God represents that which is God withholding judgment. In other words, because of the mercy of God, we are not going to go to hell because we've been saved by His grace. The grace of God, of course, is that which means that we get to go to heaven. So when you read about the mercy of God, that is withholding judgment. When you read about the grace of God, that is giving us what we do not deserve. It is because of the grace of God we get to go to heaven and receive many other things. So he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So it's something that God says it's reasonable. It's reasonable for you to give yourself to God. It's not unreasonable. It's the reasonable. It's the expected thing to do as a Christian. And he says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So what renews our mind is that which is the Word of God, as we'll find out. The Bible says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now notice in verse 3, "For I say," it says, "that through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but," it says, "to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So he's saying, now, please understand, it's because of the mercy of God that you are who you are, and because it is the mercy of God that you are who you are, don't think too highly of yourself. You didn't get there by yourself, and by the way, you won't stay there by yourself. And so he says, let's not think too highly of yourself, because it's because of the mercy of God that you're not going to suffer that which is the penalty of sin and death. And so let's be careful. Now, as I speak this morning on how to make a wise decision, I believe this with all my heart, that a child of God ought to desire to be in the will of God. A child of God ought to desire to please God. A child of God ought to be, if you would please, one that puts God, yea, wants to put God first in their life. Now, in order to do that, we have to operate, yea, live by godly principles. Now, where do we find godly principles? We find godly principles through the Word of God. If you will please, this is our filter. This is our filter. So as I decide whether I should or should not do something, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at it through the filtering system, yea, the Word of God, to find out should I or should I not do that particular thing. Now, with that in mind, I want to give you some filters this morning, some filters to look through where you know this is something I ought to do, or you will know this is something I ought not to do. Let me give you some filters this morning. Filter number one, will it control you? Will it control you? Filter number one, will it control you? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He says, "And be not deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters, or adulterers," it says, "nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners," the Bible says, or shall inherit the kingdom of God, extortioners. The Bible says, and listen to it, "such were some of you." He says, in other words, you were that way at one time. You were that way at one time. He said, and of course, he's talking about the grace of God, "but ye are washed," it says, "but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit," capital S, talking about Holy Spirit of our God, "and all things are not lawful unto me." Now, this is, of course, Paul speaking. He says, "but all things are not expedient Okay? He says, it says all. It says to bring together the lawful, it says, for me, I will not be brought under the power of any or not. All right, so what is he saying? He's talking about that which is control. Let me ask you something. What controls you? You have to be very, very careful. If you're going to be under control of God, you're going to be under control of the Holy Spirit, you have to be careful to ask yourself the question, the filtering question, okay? If I'm going to do something, does that control me? Does that control me? Is it going to take the controls out of God's hand and put it in my hand or in somebody else's hand? Is it going to be something, if you would please, that is now out of my control? By the way, I think we ought to live our life in such a way that we just do not do stupid sins. I think we ought to live a life, if you would please, where there is not penny ante differences that divides us or misunderstandings or hurt feelings or a day where somebody's unkind to you or a day where you grow weary and all of a sudden you decide that the Christian life is not worth living. Let me remind you, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, Paul speaking, he said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. By the way, that means that your marriage is worth fighting for. That means that rearing godly children is worth fighting for. That means that attending church faithfully, that's worth fighting for. That means to keep the bus ministry rolling. Yes, even though gas is high, there's still boys and girls and teenagers and men and women that need to be reached and helped with the gospel of Christ and that which is the Word of God. And so we ought to be careful that we do not get controlled, if you would please, by that which is the environment in which we live in. Yes, it does mean that we should try to be able to live a godly life in this generation. I would say that you ought to be faithful to Sunday school even during testing times. I would say that I'd be faithful in my ministry trying to live for God and trying to do the things that I ought to do. I would say that I would try to put a good example out there so that those that live in my community can look and learn and observe what a godly Christian is. I would say that when it talks about that which is control, what is controlling you? You ought not to be controlled by drugs. You ought not to be controlled by alcohol. You ought not to be controlled by tobacco. You ought not to be controlled by any certain type of addiction, whether it's pornography or a certain type of music or a certain type of game or gambling or things such as lying or stealing or cheating or, oh yes, overeating or overly exercising or addicted to some type of sports or sports team. I'm saying this morning, that what is it that controls you? Look at it through that which is the filter system of God's Word and say, okay, now wait a minute. Should that have any control in my life? Should I not be controlled by God? Should I not be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God? Should God not have the ability to be able to say, I want you to do this because it's in my will for you to do? Be careful who you give control to. Statement number one, there's a good filtering system there. Filtering system number one, if you would please. And by the way, it's good to filter things. Even when we lived out in Forney, we filtered our water. Now we live in a different place. We still filter our water. We have a filtering system that's set up on the shower. We have a filtering system, if you would please, that filters the water that we drink. Oh, it's good. From time to time, it's good to change the air filter in your vehicle. From time to time, it's good to change the air filter in that which is your AC at your house. From time to time, it's good to change, if you would please, filters in your life to make sure that you can be able to receive that which is pure. And can I say that God's Word is a filtering system? If we allow things to be able to say, yes, I will, or no, I won't, according to my filtering system here, what am I going to allow in? What am I not going to allow in? Can I tell you there's safety there? Here's what we understand. Statement number one, a good filter is this, will it control you? Statement number two, will it help someone? Good filtering system on should I or should I not? Will it help someone? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says, "And all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." Other words, they're not for me to do. It's not urgent for me to do right now. The Bible says that all things are lawful for me, but not all things, all things, it says, edify not. So he says, here are some things to do, and here are some things that are not to do. Is it something that you want to do because you want to do it, or is it something that you want to do because Christ wants you to do it? The Bible says that no man, in verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, no man, it says, seeketh his own. Listen to it now. But every man, it says, watch it, another's wealth. All right. So is it something that's helpful to someone else, or is it something that we're greedy to get ourselves? I've seen people that compare themselves to other people, and normally they don't live a happy life. Well, I wish I was like so and so. Why don't you thank God that God made you who you are? The Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I've seen it. I, as a youth director for many, many years and preaching youth camps and preaching youth conferences and stuff like that, I think teenagers are the world's worst in comparing themselves to someone else. Well, I wish I had so-and-so's body. Well, I wish I had so-and-so's nose. Well, I wish the pigment of my skin was different. It's so funny, when I first started traveling to the Philippines, many of the Filipino people have a darker color of skin, and it seemed like that here in America, it seemed like those that were Caucasians that had the milder color of skin, the pigment of skin, they always wanted to get darker. And when I went to the Philippines, many of the Filipinos wanted to get lighter. So they would go down to the pharmaceutical and they would buy whitening cream. Now, can I tell you, cannot we be satisfied with the way that God made us? I mean, thank God that your nose is the size that it is. Thank God. You say, well, I have a big one. That means you can smell more. Thank God for that. Thank God that your lips are the size they are. Hello? Thank God that you have, if you would please, the size of head that you have. Thank God for these men up here that sang a moment ago that had no hair. Brother Pope was in my office, and he said, he was sitting there, and he said, Brother Mike, he said, you know, I like something that I've seen about you. And we've not seen each other in years, but I like something I've seen about you the minute I walked in. I said, what is that? He said, that hair. He said, I just wish that I could have that hair. Now, can I tell you, there are those, though, that do have hair that wish that they did not. And there are those that don't have hair that wish that they did. Can I tell you, here's what we do understand. You know, will it help someone? Will it help someone? One thing I admired about Dr. Pope as he came is he's never lost his caring spirit. He's never lost his joy in the Lord. I get around certain people and they encourage me. Mike Ray is a book writer, and every time I get around Mike Ray, God uses him to encourage me to write more books. I get around certain people. Brother Fugit is a builder. Ever since I've known him, he's always been building something. And when I get around him, it encourages me to be that type of a builder. Ray Young, a personal friend of mine, I used to call him Mr. Loyalty, but he had such an endearing love for his pastor. You know, when I get around certain people, Carl Hatch of yesteryear, we used to talk almost every Friday. And when I talked to Brother Hatch, it was always about soul winning. And he really encouraged me in my personal life, not just to go soul winning, but to be a soul winner. Now, when I get around Shelton Smith, he has that mystique about him, if you would please, or that characteristic about him that it shows mature leadership. And when I get around certain people, Can I tell you, certain people encourage me, even the staff men that I have the privilege to have on staff here that help me with the ministries here, they have different qualities in their life, and every single one of them, not any of them, if you would please, that doesn't have this, they all have this. Every single one of them has different qualities in their life that helps to balance me as a pastor. Now, can I tell you, we understand this. What are you like? How is it that God is using you to be able to effectively help someone? What are you doing with your energy? What are you doing with your energy to help someone or to grow someone or to lead someone or to train someone? You know, you say, well, I'm not like so-and-so, and everybody that knows so-and-so says, I thank God you're not like so-and-so. You know, God has allowed you. Now, if that be true and God has allowed you to be different, then you just decide you're not going to quit. Amen. You just decide you're going to push on. You decide you're not going to give up. You're not going to throw in the towel. You're not going to bail out. You know, you let God use you. Amen. You know, don't let anybody, listen to me, please. Don't let anybody make you feel bad for the way that God has created you. Don't let anybody shame you into a point, into a place where you have now decreased your love for God. You have now decreased your, if you would please, energy for Christ. Don't allow somebody to run you down or to make you feel like you're not important to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something this morning? You are important to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? You just keep running. Oh, you might not can run at somebody else's pace, but you can run at the pace that God gave you. You might not can keep up with the Joneses, not about the Joneses in our church, but you might not, just using the name, you might not be able to keep up with the Joneses, but you should be able to keep up with you. I'm sorry, but if you're always pretending to be somebody else, I always ask the question, who's going to be you while you're gone? If you're trying to adopt somebody else's personality, then by you trying to adopt somebody else's personality, your personality's missing. Do you realize that God has given you the personality that He's given you because somebody in your life needs your personality? When I was in Bible college, I had the privilege to go to several different or get degrees from several different Bible colleges. I mean, God's allowed me to get 5 different degrees. And can I tell you, in sitting under different people or having different people that was over me in different subject matters, can I tell you, every single one of their personalities were starkly different. All of them. I had the serious people. I had the people that did not know what it was like to be serious. I had people that was organized. I'm talking about college teachers. I had people that did not know what it was like to be organized. Can I tell you, there's pastors all over the world, and every pastor even is different. There's Bible teachers all over the world, and can I tell you, Bible teachers are different. Young people, listen to me. Did it ever occur to you that God picked out your parents just for you? Everything about your dad, God knew you needed that. Everything about your mom, God knew you needed that. Did it ever occur to you that when God called Mike Wells to be the pastor of a Parkside Baptist Church, that God picked me out just for you? That ever occurred to you? Did it ever occur to you, listen to the other part, did it ever occur to you that when you became a member of Parkside Baptist Church, that God picked you out just for me? Therefore, I'm exactly what you need, and you're exactly what I need. You say, well, sometimes, preacher, it's hard to put up with each other. Yeah, I know. Sometimes the spaghetti doesn't taste the same. I know. Sometimes you can go to a place and order the same type of food and it distinctively tastes different. But don't you thank God for the experience of the different taste? See, here's what we understand. We understand here's a filter. Will it help someone? Will it help someone? With the decision you're about to make, is it a decision that will draw somebody else closer to God? Is it a decision that will help somebody have the desire to do more for Christ? Filter number three, will it glorify God? Will it glorify God? Will it control you? That'll help you in making a wise decision if you ask that question. Will it help someone? That'll help you in making a wise decision before you make that decision. Will it glorify God? Filter number three. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. So here's my question. Will it glorify God? You know, you think about this. Can you do it without sinning? Will it glorify God? There's many things you can do to glorify God. I'm not talking about necessarily even being super spiritual all the time. Okay, you could go down there and get on a ride at Six Flags. And by your attitude standing in line, you could be bringing glory to God. Could be subject as to how you display yourself or what you're talking about. You know, you can glorify God in many ways. You know, you think about, I can glorify God if I get up and sing. Well, yeah, you could. Well, I could glorify God if I get up and teach. Well, you could. Well, I could glorify God if I get up and preach. Well, you could. But you could also glorify God by the way you're sitting in the pew. By the way you're paying attention. By giving God your undevoted, if you would please, attention. You could glorify God, if you would please, by the way that you treat your wife. You could glorify God by the way that you treat your children. You could glorify God by the way that you are driving down the highway. You could glorify God by the way that you're buying groceries. Hello? You know, we use, if you would please, Bible terms, and we think that they're only good for inside the church. I want to tell you something. They're good for everywhere. Amen. When you're shopping and you get a good deal, you could say, praise the Lord. Amen. Let people know it's because of God. When you're praying for your meal at a restaurant and you hold hands and you pray, hey, what are you doing? You're glorifying God. When you're passing out a Bible tract or a Bible card, that's glorifying God. When somebody says, well, why are you smiling? Well, let me tell you why I am smiling. I'm smiling because there was a day when Jesus Christ saved my soul. That's glorifying God. There's many ways to be able, but I'm talking about the filter system here. Here's filter number one. Filter number one is, will it control you? The thing that you're about to doing, the thing you're about to do, will it control you? Or is it something that you can control? Filter system number two, will it help someone? Would help someone. Filter system number three, will it glorify God? Statement number four, will it cause ungodly people to admire you? Will it cause ungodly people to admire you? What you're doing is you're thinking past the filter. What is it going to taste like by going through the filter? What is it going to accomplish by going through the filter? How is it going to look after it passes through the filter? What is going to be the outcome on the other side once it goes through the filter? That's what you're asking. It's thinking ahead. It's praying. It's earnestly seeking what will please God. All right? Now, here's what we see. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible says, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, listen to it now, says, who were covetous, heard it says these things, and they derided him. The Bible says, and he said unto them, he says, which, he says, listen to it now. He says unto them, ye that, it says, which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. For it says that which is highly esteemed among men, it says it is abomination in the sight of God. All right? So here's my question, the filtering system, if you will it cause the ungodly? Here's the Pharisees. They have the outward adornment of religion, but inside of those sepulchers, it was filth, it was rotten, it smelt, it was dirty. All right? So do we do things just so that the ungodly people can admire us? Do we act the way they act so that we can be able to be that one, if you will, please, that they admire? You're one of us. Now, that's what they said about Peter. Peter was warming himself by the devil's fire as he was denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said this, oh, you're one of us, as he sat there beside them. See, your associations, if you will, please, speaks volumes. It just speaks volumes. I was out soul winning one time, this many, many years ago. And I was sitting on the couch, and I was witnessing to this fellow, and this fellow was getting nervous. And he says, a pastor, he said, if you don't mind, he said, I need to get a drink. And he said, you want one? Well, I thought he's talking about water. Next thing I know, I see he's in the kitchen. He's pouring up a glass of whiskey. I said, no, I don't need one of those. I appreciate that very much. I said, but my partner, he wants one. I said, no, I'm kidding. No, we don't do that. I said, this is more important. This will help to steady your nerves more than that. He said, well, if you think so. And so he put it down and he came back in. Can I tell you this? Can I say this? That with what you're doing, do you do it because you want to be admired by the ungodly? You just want to fit in? I mean, after all, my friend's doing it, and so since my friend is doing it, and I'm with them and I'm not with the brethren, guess I'll do it too. I don't want to be an outcast. I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want somebody to look at me weird. Is that why we do what we do? Put it through the filter. Last filter, filter number 5, would help you to fit in with the wrong crowd. Kind of similar to what I covered just a moment ago, but that one has to do with admiration. It has to do with being admired. Being admired, you know? I remember, now don't forget, I didn't get saved till I was 18. But I remember when I got saved at 18, I used to do the high jump. When I did track and field, one of my field events was the high jump. And for those of you that are followers of field events and sports, it was back in the day when the Flosbury flop became accepted as the acceptable way to do the high jump. And so I was pretty good. I was best in my high school. I did it higher than anybody else in their high school, and so I made it to state and stuff like that. But can I tell you this? Doing that Flosbury flop, as I would run in and flop over that bar without it falling down, doing that, I got pretty good. And my dad, and I don't forget, I didn't get saved till I was 18. When I got saved, things changed. So I used to jump for competition outside, and I would jump for a keg of beer. My dad liked Michelob, and so I would jump for a keg of beer, and I'd get a keg of beer. I didn't drink it. I didn't like liquor. I just didn't care for it at all. But I'd jump for a keg of Michelob, and I'd bring it back. I'd give it to my dad. My daddy's always happy. But I remember when I got saved, boy, did things change in my life. I started learning about this was wrong and that was wrong and shouldn't do this, and some of it didn't even make sense to me, but if God didn't want me to do it, I said, God, you know more than I do, and if you don't want me to do it, I'm not doing it. And I just stopped some things abruptly. And I remember one time showing up, there's five of us, and we were going to have a high jumping competition. It was three guys from one other high school, and it was me and another guy from my high school. It was five of us total, and we had it all set up, and I had it set up. Mike Wright, our coach, allowed us to do it, and so we were out there, and it was just us five, and we were going to do high jumping competition, and the winner, and they were always used to jumping for beer, and the winner, I said, is going to get a keg of Coke. He looked at me like I was crazy. Keg of Coke. I said, yeah, we're not going to be jumping for liquor anymore. We're going to jump for Coca-Cola. And they said, well, why? I said, because the advertisement on TV says that Coke is the real thing. So we're going to change it. We're going to jump for the real thing. I didn't know how to take a stand for Christ, but I knew God was doing some changes in my life. Now, can I tell you this, okay? Will it cause the ungodly to admire you? Statement number last, I said this. Will it help you to fit in with the wrong crowd? Here's what our Bible says over in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father, this is straightforward, is not in him. For all that, listen to it now, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The Bible says, and the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here's what I've got. I have God, I have man. Worldly man without a Bible says, why don't you do this? Godly man with a Bible says, why don't you do this? And I'm a new believer, I don't know much, but I also have a Bible. And I say, well, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to see if this identifies. So I put it through the filter, and guess what? It doesn't identify. There's things he's doing, places he's going, ways he's doing things that I say, I can't do that no more. I want to be more of a dedicated Christian than that. I'm not going to pounce on him. I'm not going to, but I want to be closer to God than that. Then all of a sudden I see somebody, and it's not because they carry a Bible. I know Christians carry a Bible and they don't live by it. They just carry it because it's Sunday. But this individual happens to live by it. And so through my filtering system, I say, I'm not going to go that way. But I begin to examine. I begin to look through. And as he's looking through, we have an agreement that God is the one that we should be following. And him being a godly person, he's already going there. So what do? I said, hey, you want to get together for coffee sometime?
Sounds good.
You know, recently I invited a couple out. I said, hey, listen, I'd like to get together with you. And I said, how about if we go out for a coffee? And they said, that's great, Pastor. We would love that. I was going over to their house to visit. And they said, you know, don't come by the house. Just meet us somewhere. And I said, where do you want to meet? They said, well, you like coffee. How about Starbucks? I said, yeah, that sounds great. I like to do coffee. They said, that's great. How about if you buy? I thought, well, they catch on quick. Now, and so I bought. Now, can I say this, though? You know, they had a great desire to learn the Bible and to enjoy the coffee. But they had a great desire to learn that Bible. So we sat there, and we did a Bible study together, and I helped them be able to understand certain aspects of Scripture. And can I tell you, they were making choices as a young couple now, as to which way to go, because they were identifying. It wasn't who was presenting it was what was being presented. You see, and as truth is being presented, it doesn't matter how great of an orator the person is. It doesn't matter what their personality is. It doesn't matter if they're bombastic in their preaching or they're a skilled teacher. What matters is that which is the consumption of the Word of God. Because as we take in the Word of God, God's Word changes us. Changes us. One thing I learned, thank you, gentlemen, one thing I learned is not to get my convictions from a man, but to get it from the Word of God. Because the Word of God doesn't change. You know, I see a lot of preachers changing these days. I told my dear wife about this morning as we were talking. I said, the thing that bothers me about men that change is probably they got their convictions from a man. They never got their convictions from the Word. Because when you get your convictions from the Word, it doesn't change. And so may I say this morning, we have some filters. You allow God to provide these filters, these principles through the Word of God. Filter number one, will it control you? Filter number two, will it help someone? Filter number three, will it glorify God? Filter number four, will it cause ungodly people to admire you? Filter number five, will it help you to fit in with the wrong crowd? You decide how you're going to allow this precious filter to help you. By the way, when you do this and you drink of it, oh, it's good. When you do this and you drink of it, it's healthy. When you do this and you drink of it, it doesn't have any contaminants in it. When you do this and you drink of it, it will give you that which is a vibrancy in life, energy to be able to continue because you're doing it, because you're drinking of that which has been filtered by God.